Before I left, we were talking about Roman coinage a little bit, so I'm going to have a little section on that in particular. The three key topics, if you want to get a person upset, okay, are what? There's three topics that are probably more than any three that have caused conflict with people. Or politics, religion, and money. Okay? All right? And money. Those three are, if you have a person and you say, well, your religion's messed up, that's a fast way to a bad place. Or you tell a person, your politics has got real problems. That's another quick way to a bad place. Or you reach into their pocket somehow and take money out, and that's a quick way to a bad place. So Jesus had all these people he was having conflict with. He was telling them their what? Their faith, their religiosity, in God's eyes, was broken. Okay, so there's one. All right. Their religion was broken. Oh, by the way, since religion and politics in Jerusalem at this time were fused completely together, when you tell me that my religion is screwed up, I'm also telling you your politics are messed up. And that made them mad enough as it was. But all of a sudden, imagine people are coming to listen to Jesus that says, you know, all this stuff that's going on here really has a major issue with it. And you're coming up to make your offering, free will offering, not just the temple tax, but your free will offering. What's the likelihood of you dropping it in the chute? That would be like asking a person that's got a real problem with the pastor, a real problem with the pastor, well, why aren't you tithing? Why aren't you giving? Why aren't you giving special gifts? But that's the real gig. So if I was a Sadducee, if I was a Pharisee, if I was any of the people dependent on the system, my views of Jesus would have all sorts of bad thoughts about him. Because he was touching literally all three of the hot buttons. And truthfully, a good pastor will touch on that with us all the time. It really challenges the heart, am I willing to listen? When the Holy Spirit reaches in us and says, time to work on this, you really have only two responses you can give God. Anger? No, lousy pastor's meddling again. Okay, right? Or, yes, God, I surrender. Or somewhere in between, which really gets you nowhere. Okay? Well, let's open in a word of prayer. We'll do a little bit of review. We'll talk about Roman currency, because we talked about the denarius, but how does that relate to being wealthy or poor? Because we're going to be talking as we go into chapter 21 about another person that really doesn't have much money, the widow. Let's open in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you for an opportunity to be here this morning. Lord, we thank you for a chance to be able to worship in peace. Lord, have a Bible in front of us. Have a beautiful place to come and study. Lord, watch over this day. Prepare our hearts for growth. Prepare our hearts for purification. Lord, prepare our hearts to give us peace. Lord, in a world of turmoil, may you be our center, be our rock, and may we just rest in the shade of you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here we are, chapter 20 of Luke. Now, during the last week of Jesus' life, what was the standard, you might call it, layout of his day? Where did Jesus normally stay during the last week of his life? outside of Jerusalem, he'd go to Bethany, probably, and spend it with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, okay? But early in the morning, he would come back in, and what would he do during the day? He was in the temple teaching. And actually, people started coming to the temple knowing Jesus was going to be there to teach. But he also was healing people. And there's many examples. If you literally to get an understanding of this last week of Jesus' life, we would have to go in depth into Matthew, in depth into Mark, in depth into Luke. I'll next week talk a little bit about some of the things in Matthew, and we'll see some in Mark today, just because we'll miss some things unless we cover them, okay? But he would teach. But like we said, he was engendering a significant amount of conflict. Let's get where we finished up last week, or week before last, Luke chapter 20, verse 45. Then in the audience of all the people, he said unto his disciples, "Beware of the scribes which desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the markets and the highest seats in the synagogues and the chief rooms in feasts, at feasts, which devour widows' houses and for a show make long prayers, the same shall receive greater damnation." Now, what do you think that phrase "devour widows' houses" means? Devour widows' houses. Well, yeah, people that have no defense. That's the worst of it, okay? In Roman times, if you in combat took something from someone, in Roman law, that was the ultimate of ownership. The person had an opportunity to defend themselves. There was a war, and we won, and the booty be ours. That's the source of true ownership. Not God's plan, but that was the world's way of viewing it. The problem is, do we even see this today where people take advantage of older folks? All the time. And some of them are in the garb of a sheep's clothing when they're really wolves. We hear about it in the paper every now and then. Woman donates $1 million but wants it back. It's because they literally are trying to put the screws to you. Charities call you on the phone and hound you. They find a little old lady that's maybe not as strong in the mind anymore, and they just pump all the money out of them they possibly can. Or have you ever noticed it? Sometimes when people get older, they become more generous. Why? You can't take it with you? But some people are feeling bad that they weren't generous when they were younger. So I'll fix it maybe. All right? I'll fix it. So these guys were literally taking advantage of those people. Now, what were the two primary Jewish, for lack of a better term, denomination or parties in Jerusalem at this time? Two primary ones. The what? Pharisees and Sadducees. So the key thing about the Sadducees is they had a significant amount of Greek influence. What did the Sadducees believe? We've talked a little bit about this. Sadducees. No eternal life. This is it, and you go out into eternity. Poof. Exactly. Sister, good job. In fact, they were a follow. They take their name. We'll see a little later on. We'll look at what the words were Sadducees actually translated from a little later on. Then we had the pious ones, or you might call it they were a direct result of the apostasy, in effect, of the Sadducees. The Pharisees came after the Sadducees did. They're a response to the apostasy of going after Alexander the Great and Greek culture. In our society, all right, what happened in the late 1800s, early 1900s even in our, you might call it, the non-Catholic Christian church. Have you ever heard of the books called The Fundamentals? They're little pamphlets. I have about 8 out of the 13. But they're little pamphlets that were put out by 2 very wealthy men, and they sent them free to any Christian worker in the world. But they were, because the world was going down the road of higher criticism, God didn't really speak, the Bible isn't the Word of God, Jesus didn't have virgin birth, they documented those key doctrines that were critical to be consistent and historically accurate, to have a faith that was a New Testament faith. And they were called the Fundamentals. Those books started a movement called the Fundamentalist Movement. Would you call Temple Baptist Church a fundamental church? That's almost a dirty word nowadays, but it shouldn't be. There's even independent fundamental churches of America. Okay. There used to be the American Baptist Church. At the Civil War, slavery caused the American Baptist Church to fracture into the Southern Baptist Church. Okay? Well, where do you think GARBC came from, or Bible Baptist came from? They pulled away from those two because they saw them moving in a bad direction. Okay? The largest Baptist denomination in America today is Bible Baptist. People at most conservative Baptist churches, you'd never know it as you drive by because they've removed their name from outside. They call themselves, you know, South Hills Church or whatever. All right. But the truth is, if you took the doctrinal statement out of our Constitution and butted it up against the Fundamentals books, chink, they're in there. We just don't normally call it. I explain myself. I'm a fundamentalist, okay? The key fundamentals of the faith. But sadly, the Pharisees, when you only listen to your own message, when you only listen to yourself, that's a bad place to be. Why? All of us need calibration. And the Pharisees not only believed the Word of God, they had all these traditions. We don't want to break any of the laws, so we'll make some. We don't want to get this close, so we'll make an administrative control, as we say out at Hanford, of not doing anything, so we'll only be this close, so we'll never sin. And then they got more concerned about drawing other lines, and their lines became what they were involved with. They didn't even understand why they were doing it. And those were the Pharisees. Zadok was the guy who started the Sadducees, and actually the Sadducees followed him. And he was literally, the Jews thought of him as an apostate. And all the people that were Sadducees, because they didn't believe in anything but the Torah, all right, they were apostates. The sad truth is they were the political elite, and they controlled who became the high priest. They had that type of political control. And remember, they were the ones that came last week and talked about the lady that got married 7 times. They had lost it. They did not understand the scope of Scripture, and Jesus had to calibrate them. And basically gave us a picture of what it's like. Marriage is for now. Marriage isn't for eternity. Unlike at least one faith that has a temple down the road, that's the primary function of that building. There's 2 primary functions of that building. Eternal marriage and baptism for the dead. I think I've told you that the number 3 guy in the Tri-City area is a friend of mine. LDS guy. He actually took me on a personal tour of the temple. So I've actually been in the room where they do the eternal marriage. And they have mirrors on all the walls. So it, have you ever seen mirrors where you look at it and it looks like it goes on for infinity? It goes in both directions that way. Now, I had to wear booties because I would have contaminated the place. Gentile that I am, okay? All right? And Pharisee comes from this Greek word, Pharisios. And the Pharisees in Matthew 23, it's during the same period of time. What were they called? What did Jesus call the Pharisees? You were whitewashed what? Filled with, you look good, dead men's bones. Jesus had a real clear way of pointing out you're false. He didn't miss words. Nowadays, well, you don't tell them how bad they are. We want to be a friendly church. Well, people don't get saved unless they understand they're a dirty, rotten sinner. And we all were, and we're saved by grace. And the scribes, where do you think we get our word grammar from? It's from this Greek word, grammateus. And that's the same word to describe the writers, the scribes. Not everybody could write. And have you ever seen my handwriting? Anybody? Oh, yes. Now, would you describe my handwriting as beautiful script, readable by almost anybody? No. You need an interpreter. You had to learn my lousy script. My mother, on the other hand, could have been a scribe. Beautiful letters that would come out of her hand. They were a little larger than normal, but they were absolutely gorgeous with all sorts of frills and dressings and stuff. And my dad, he was like me, okay. I always appreciated my administrative professionals that made me look so good when, in fact, I was so bad. Yes? Well, if you're attached to people with money, okay, who needs to have records? Records that are lots of them. When books were first developed, who owned them? Who had libraries? The wealthy, okay? And so they would be at court trials. They would be there for business records. I honestly believe that some of the people that were Sadducees and probably not Pharisees because there were certain rules of them learning. They needed these people just like I needed Sandy. Yeah, well, that's what they would probably think. I think these guys are crazy, but they pay good. I can't count how many times at work, I'm sorry, I said, this is stupid, but ride for the brand. I'm sorry, right? Okay? The trouble is, my mom could be proud and exercise great pride in her handwriting. It was beautiful. And if I was that good of scribe, I would sell myself for a really good fee. Now, how many, Bruce, you've been around, and Bob, you too, you've been around drafters that have beautiful print script, I mean, as if it came out of a computer. That's the kind of people these people would be. All right, not the chicken scratch that I would do. And until the advent of computers, typewriters, and other things, this is from the 1920s, these guys still had their jobs. Okay? Now, have you noticed that some faiths seem to carry on that your garb is what makes you? The clothes you wear is what makes you. And some of that flows right out of the ancient times, Jewish customs of the clothes you wear when you worship. All right? But it tends to separate people. I have my collar. I put on my vestments. They even have names for them. All right? That makes me different than you. But even in fundamentalist churches, I've heard of a missionary being not here, but being rejected from being accepted for one reason. You know what the reason was? He didn't button the top button of his suit. I'm thinking that's carrying a little bit too far, don't you think? Just a little bit? Just a touch? Okay. Now, the Bible talks about praying in private. And your primary prayer life should be yours alone. But praying in public, there are those that do a pretty good job at it. Just like the scribe. Pride haunts us all. When you're too busy worrying about the people and what they think instead of the one you're communicating with, you've got the cart before the horse. Now, when I came into temple, I felt like I was coming home. Everybody says, "Hi, Rick, how you doing? How'd you have your vacation?" Do I come to church for that? It is very nice. But there are people whose whole faith surrounds getting fed that way. And the scribes were one of those. Now, having a special place. If you were in a Jewish church at this period of time, this is a synagogue in Jerusalem. And if you were somebody special, you would get to sit over here. That would be like having a special set of pews here for the special people. The Hazin, who was in charge of the synagogue. If Paul came in today, the Apostle Paul comes walking down the aisle. Pastor, don't sit with them. Sit over here. You're special. Oh, it gets better than that. Okay, that was true even in small synagogues. This is one of the oldest synagogues in the old city of Jerusalem, and they have special places to sit here. This is where the normal people sit. There's supposed to be 10. You need 10 folks. Okay. Well, we'll call it the other folks. Okay, us, the usins. Okay, this is how bad it is. This is in another one in Jerusalem. But the special person, this isn't where the sermon, this isn't a podium, this is where the special person sits. I'm thinking we're just outside the box here, folks. We're laughing here, but the sad truth is, these people really thought, just like the Romans had said, the best way to validate my ownership is to kill you in combat. The best way to show my respect for my elders is to put them in a special box. Now, honoring our elders, honoring our pastors, honoring those that live a life that is an example is what we're supposed to do. But this doesn't get it. And worse than that, when you get addicted to this, you're outside where God wants you to be. It's like a birdcage. Now, some people, that's a sound booth, Rick. That's where we're putting him in, the sound booth here. But David, when the ark came into Jerusalem, he danced in front of it because he could not not. If God asks you to raise your hands when you pray, do it. But if you're doing just a show, that's a no-go. Lawyers. Lawyers and doctors are mentioned fewer than the others, and lawyers would be just what lawyers are today. They would be your advocate or your lawyer that would be there during a legal. I don't know how many of you have ever had to go to court and had to hire a lawyer. I did once. But ever since, I've always had a lawyer that I trusted. You know, like I have a doctor I can trust and a lawyer I can trust. Everybody ought to have them. Okay? Doctors, on the other hand, you might call them university professors. A doctor carried a special key because they had the key of knowledge. That's where Key Club kind of got their style and all this other junk. Okay? But the key of knowledge. They actually carried a key around with them. You would know somebody. The Apostle Paul, more than likely, could have been of that class because of who his teachers were. And this is a Torah scroll. It is quite large. Do Jewish people ever touch their Torah scroll? No. They have a special stylus that's pointed like a little silver finger. And that's what they read it, because the oils. The sad truth is many of the oldest Torah scrolls were in Europe when the Nazis took over and destroyed them. Many of them are beautifully illustrated. And have you ever watched the movie Monuments Men? Okay, it's about those guys who were assigned to go into Europe to save the artwork that the Nazis had stolen. Some of the other things they were saving were these. And there's a few synagogues that got them back. All right? Now, high priests, priests, and Levites, wait a minute, Rick, weren't those guys the movers and the shakers? Who appointed the high priest? Which group of folks? Sadducees. Okay? And the priests were descendants of Levi and the Levites, but only a certain, the Zedekites, were the ones that were the priests, and the others descendants of Levi were the Levites. Those people did the services. But does this sound like a beautifully healthy spiritual environment to grow in? I'm thinking that we as a group, if these were our leadership, we would do something about it. And that's what happened back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, is people pulled themselves away from the American Baptist Convention. We're an independent Baptist church because we pulled so far away, we only want to have control of here. Okay? Now, remember when they brought the tribute penny? We talked about it being a denarius. And who's this guy on it? He was the emperor at the time. Starts with a T. Tiberius. Good job. He was the second Roman emperor. All right? That's Augustus up there. He was the first. Julius Caesar was really not a Roman, truly an emperor. Okay? And so you have Augustus, Tiberius, Caligula, Claudius, and then Nero. And Claudius and Nero were the individual during the Apostle Paul's ministry period. And that's Tiberius. Was Tiberius a good guy? Good guy? Oh, you wouldn't really know. He lived on his island in Capri and didn't even go to Rome. He had administrators run the whole show. Augustus had his internal revenue service. He had his tax collectors. He had his government agencies. He built this massive civil service system that ran all on its own. If you today blew up the whole government except for the civil servants, we'd probably not know much different. And Tiberius was totally absent. All right? And that's the more likely the penny that when Jesus says, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Now, this was the question. Well, how did this coin fit into the whole scheme of Roman currency? All right? This is the primary Roman currency. It's called an as. All right? And the as, a semi is a half. You might call the as the dollar, okay? And a semi is like a 50-cent piece. A DuPontis is like $2. A sesterces is like $4, okay, a sesterces. Now, to give you an idea, if you were a hideously wealthy person, you ever heard of a person called Crassus? A person that's crass, it means they're wealthy and show off. That's because this guy was a bum. He had about 300 million sesterces. 300 million sesterces worth of wealth. His statement was, if anybody can't even raise his own legion, he doesn't have enough money. He raised 21 legions of his own. And a legion would cost about 2.1, 1.9 million sesterces a year. That's wealthy. Julius Caesar, maybe 150, 200 million sesterces. You had to have 100 million sesterces. You had to have at least 1 million sesterces to be able to become a Roman senator. You had to have so much money. Politics has been being bought for a long, long time, okay? A quinarius is about 8 asses, but a denarius, a denarii, the tribute penny, is about $16, 16 asses, okay? Now, you can find all of these coins in great number for under $100 in not too bad a shape, okay? DuPontis were not as common as the sesterces. Quinarius wasn't as common as denarius. These, since they're made out of silver, both of these are made out of silver, you're going to buy the silver amount and then whatever condition the coin is in as well. But if you're really wealthy, you have arius, they're made out of gold, quinarius, and an arius denarius is 25 denarii. Now, how much do you think it would cost to get an arius? They're about the same size, by the way, as the denarii I handed around to you. How much do you think one of those would cost? If I wanted to get one of Nero's, let's say. The reason I don't have one, if it's in exceptionally nice condition, you could pay in excess of $50,000 for it. Because most of them are worn. Okay? Most of them are worn. Now, those were the official Roman currency. These are what the governors, like Pontius Pilate or any other governor, even there's some coins that Herod Antipas put out with Salome's picture on it, okay? These are called a pruta. That's 1/8 of an as. That's almost down to the dime. And 1/4 of an as, almost like a quarter or a farthing, all right? By the way, we know the years that Pontius Pilate ruled. It's amazing. 1965, many people didn't believe Pontius Pilate existed. At this point, we know that he in fact existed, and we have coins from every year that he printed. We know he was in charge in Jerusalem in 29, 30, and 31. Thus also validating that Jesus probably was crucified in AD 30. Okay. Now, what did we do in America when most of the old mainline denominations started going bad? We pulled away, right? What do you think happened in Israel? When the religiosity people are bad, when the money grubbers are bad, what do? You create your own. Not only that, you going to go to the temple very much? No. Okay, so you make your own little community. And that's where you get the Essenes, the Qumran, the Dead Sea Scrolls, and those folks. And many people literally believe that John the Baptist, with his garb, the kind of food that he ate, he had a lot of interaction with the Essene community. They were people that just wanted to live a life that honored God. Now, they had some weird ways, but not too bad. Now, how many of you have been really poor? Poor. There was a couple times in my life where my dad was out of work for a long period of time. The worst it was ever for us is I would have pancakes in the morning and pancakes in the evening. Dad would get government flour and cheese and peanut butter, you know, food stuff before the days of food bank. But that's the worst I've ever had it. But there are people that are dirt poor. They don't know where their next meal is going to come from. My mom and dad worked very hard. Dad sometimes 4 jobs at a time, just trying to put food on the table for all of us. But I don't know what real poor is. I really don't. Let's get to chapter 21. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. Why do you think Jesus took, besides the widow, why do you think Jesus took folks to where they were dropping the money in? Now, we do, how do we collect here at Temple? How do we collect? We pass the plates, okay? But I've been in churches, Plymouth Brethren churches, they have a box in the back, and people simply drop it in. And in fact, that is the way the temple was. It had this big hole where people just threw in the money. Now, if I'm a wealthy person, here I am to put in all this money to show off. And then comes this person in rags and drops in, tink, tink, and walks away. By the way, this is a pruta that Pastor Barnes got for me from Israel. It is the coin that was of the same denomination as the widow's mite. Not very big, a little, it's easy to lose, okay? Now, many artists have looked at the widow. How did you become a widow? Your husband died. Being that the average lifespan was about 40 years, it was not uncommon for a husband to be a widower because of a wife dying in childbirth. I would have lost Maria with Sarah when she was born if it hadn't been for modern medicine. I would have lost her. It was not uncommon for a man to be married twice, three times in a lifetime if he was healthy. But it was also not uncommon for a widow, for many women to end up widows. You might say it's pretty much like today. Who lives longer? You go to nursing homes, who's the primary occupants of nursing homes? Women. Good, bad, or indifferent, men's businesses sometimes, imagine fishing. A dangerous business. It's like farming. It's not exactly what I would call the safest profession, unless you're smart. Right? Go ahead, brother. You've no friends that tumble through your mind that got themselves boogered up. Because they did, everything from a PTO that went bad on them or who knows what, okay? All right? But many artists portray her as a woman, a widow, with children, dropping in the last two of those coins. Tink, tink. I gained some encouragement from this. Have you ever gave when you really didn't have it to give? God remembers every last penny. Okay? Now, some people make the widow out to be quite lovely. In ancient times, if you were a widow, you could remarry or live off the money that your husband left you or live off your relatives or there was no welfare, no Social Security, nothing. All right? Widow's mite. Some of them portray all these horrible people behind her, forcing her to be poor. I like this one. Jesus is here with his disciples watching the individuals as they go in. There's a lesson to be learned here. Verse 4. For all these of their abundance cast in the offerings of God, but she of her penury, her poverty, hath cast in all her living that she had. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you, I have never put in the offering plate my last dime. I never have. I never have. The widow did. And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned and with godly stones and gifts, how many of you have ever been in a really beautiful building? What was the building, Sandy? Okay, yeah. Any of you been in a cathedral? Okay, a beautiful cathedral? Okay. You just start looking at it. The disciples there, after looking at the widow, all start commenting, look how beautiful a place this is. And honestly, every year they would come, or three times a year they would come, and it was lovely. And people would donate to make additions and everything. Verse 6. He said, "And as for these things which ye behold, the days will come in which there shall not be one stone left upon another that shall not be" what? Ooh. It's kind of a downer. What do you mean, Lord? What do you mean? Nothing? This place took 40-some years to build. And it's just going to lay waste? The truth was, is that after Jerusalem fell, about 30 years later, they actually cleared off the Temple Mount completely to build a temple to Jupiter. It just literally got cleaned completely off. What you saw, the stones, those were underground at the time. Okay? So literally, one stone not upon another. And that question, that statement, starts the last of Jesus' discourses. If you look in the Bible, there are five key discourses that Jesus had. The Sermon on the Mount or the Discourse on the Mount. Those five keys, literally, if a Christian wants to, the Sermon on the Mount tells you about your personal ethics. Okay? How am I going to live today? The Olivet Discourse, which you'll have here as we go in next week, the Olivet Discourse tells you about the future. Their future, 70 AD, but also we'll talk a little bit next week about how people view pieces of the Olivet Discourse as having even a longer time frame of when Jesus is talking about. So next week we're going to go into the Olivet Discourse, and Davey's outside the door and I've gone over. But anyway, hopefully this was interesting to you about the coins and such, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for a chance to be here. Lord, may we realize that how much money in a person's pocket doesn't determine at all how much they're really worth. Lord, by your grace, may we be worth a lot to you. May we be a tool that you choose to use. May we prepare ourselves. May we study. May we surrender. Lord, we just lift you up with praise and thank you for saving us all. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everybody.